Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
From the world's first officially recognized sim racing group, it's the Tora Radio Show.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Tora Radio Show on radiolemans.com. I'm Matt Hunter, as ever, and alongside me this evening, in a slightly more echoey situation than usual, Mr. Ben Williams.
Hello, Matt. It's great to be here.
Be careful.
I'll stop doing that now.
As I say, we'll start to sound like a Prince single if we're not careful. Is it me you're looking for? No, it's not.
That wasn't even Prince.
No, it wasn't.
It's because you went.
Hello. Is it sim racing you're looking for? Yes. Great, you've come to the right place.
Occasionally. Welcome to the Tora Radio Show, where we do occasionally talk about sim racing news.
As you may have guessed, there's only two voices here at the minute, because Mr. Jordan Groves, the quasi-American, has got his head full of paperwork at the minute, doing stuff for the checkered flag. So because of his IndyCar coverage that he does so well done to him. Must also mention that there is, of course, another Tora test track coming out very, very soon. After the success of the Ferrari, I want to say 312.
Yes.
Ooh,
pretty certain that's what it was.
You. The Niki Lauda one from last month. This month is another Formula One car. And it's one I'm very, very attached to, has to be said. The Braun BGP 001, as driven by Jenson Button and Rubens Barrichello. So that's very cool. And I've seen a preview of this video. It is absolutely excellent. So do please go over and check out that video. Hit the like button and subscribe and all this, that other YouTuber-based nonsense. Dude, bro.
Matt, this isn't a good thing for you. It just doesn't work.
There's a reason why I do radio and not vlogging or vlogging, as I call it.
Feel free to take the sideways cap off and let's continue on the show.
The sideways cat?
Cap.
I was going to say, I have a sideways cat, but he's asleep, I think.
Mm-hmm. Is he your special guest this month?
He is the special guest this month. Basically, dear listeners, in my small office, my office chair has been taken from me by Tank, the elderly cat. What's the elderly cat? He's 13 years old. And as he has taken it as his bed, and I'm now not allowed to sit in it. So I have had to drag up a chair from the dining room in order to actually have anywhere to sit in the office. In order to produce this show. Stupid animal.
That's right.
Anyway. Love your cats. Adopt one if you have the opportunity. Do your bit for animals. Yeah. Esports then.
Yes. See, we do occasionally talk about some racing news.
Yeah.
Should we start with everyone's favourite subject, Forza? Mm.
Yes, because of course this month of March, we actually got and portion of the race regs.
Mm-hmm.
Can we first talk about now? Drift.
There's
car.
A sigh.
There is. You know how drift cars are very prevalent in Horizon.
Yes.
And you know how drift cars actually work quite well in Horizon.
Yes.
Because they're on streets.
Yes.
Where drift cars belong.
Well,
for the most part.
Yes. Well, no.
I don't know how unpopular this opinion is going to be, but we have three RTR ready to rock Mustangs in.
You said it wrong. It's ready to rock. Get it right.
He's a man of the cloth, people. Anyway. Anyway.
Yes, we do have three Mustangs that are ready to rock. This is, of course, the Mustangs that were built by...
And yet none of them look like Brian Johnson.
He's...
Fair good comment. Grief.
These are cars that are based on Von Giffen Jr.'s kind of like former drift organization. RTR is kind of his brand, I guess you can say. Two of them are actual like legitimate four-wheel drift cars that are both driven by Von Giffen.
Von Giffen.
Excuse me. Yeah. And Chelsea, the I can still can't pronounce his name correct.
Is it Denova?
I think it's Denova. Yeah. Anyway, they're legitimate like drifting cars that are actually fun in game. One four-wheel drift. Now, this is where I'm going to disagree with your statement from earlier. Four-wheel drift does go to Road Atlanta, and they do use portion of the circuit as part of their drifting competition. Same goes for Long Beach.
Is the Long Beach drifting circuit actually usable in Forza Motorsport 7?
I believe so, yes. Road Atlanta is definitely, because they basically use turn 10A and B, and then there's a small loop.
Okay, I'm going to rephrase it.
Okay.
As a selectable track, not just and track and oh, there's the tarmac. As a selectable track, is the drift version of Road Atlanta available in Forza Motorsport 7?
No.
Right.
Because it's part of the main circuit.
I'm still sticking to it. I don't think it's a good idea. It's not a racing car.
I mean...
I'm sorry, I am being very hard bum-huggy about this.
You
but...
are being very hard-buggy about this.
But on this particular
I'm
thing...
I'm going to disagree with you. Because...
Well, why not? Everyone else does.
Because these are specially built, lightweight... Mm. Cars that are not street cars. I mean, there is a ready to rock version of the street car, which we got in the update for both
Spec 5. Forza,
yeah, the both Forza Motorsport 7 and Horizon 4, which you can drive all three of these cars in both games, which take it or leave it, I think that's kind of cool. But these are specially built cars, especially designed for this series. They have to meet a certain VOP. They have to meet certain standards of building the cars, and they have to be, and they're used for competition-based motorsport. Because, like you're not under the broad definition that is motorsport, four-wheel drift is involved in that.
Oh no, I'm not denying that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not denying that at all. I just would prefer we had updated racing cars first. Mm-hmm.
That being said, for the guys who like four-wheel drift and do drifting in motorsport, in the motorsport games, have never had like legitimate drifting cars in it. So they're serving that community that has felt ignored for possibly longer than the sim racing community. That's my opinion, at least. Take it or leave it.
Whatever. Okay.
Yeah, I've driven both the cars. They're marvelous drift cars. They're very good at what they do. The
were you giggling like a schoolgirl when you were doing it?
I mean, no, because because drifting is its own animal. You kind of have to like, just like when you're doing like proper corners, you have to focus. You gotta focus when you're driving a drift car. Be able to get it sideways in just the right position.
Mm.
Because they are very easy to, you know, get it wrong and drive off the course. Much like with, you know, circuit-based motorsports.
One thing I did see in the Forza update stream a couple of weeks ago, when they announced these cars, they talked about another upcoming feature, which was a a more
Drift Cam?
Yes.
No, that was in this update too.
Oh, was it? Okay. I actually really quite like, and the degree to which you can adjust, adjust the maneuverability of how much the head, your view will turn, as much as you turn the steering wheel, is very cool as well. I can kind of, I remember asking the question whether that would be viable in a circuit racing type thing, because of course drivers do look into corners.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tested that theory.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from the, I didn't really play with the adjustments that much, but out of the box, like turning it on, see if you can do like proper corners with it. It does look slightly.
Oh, okay.
Because you know, like it's designed for like full lock, like turns and things like that.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice it after a couple of laps. So it will kind of work, but I don't think it's worth messing with it, honestly, because I race in hood cam, which is not the like popular view the race from. Most of the really fast guys race from a third person perspective.
Yeah.
Which I've tried and I just can't do it. It does provide like a full like more understanding where your car is, but I just can't. Well, I can't see the apexes that way as much as I can, just because unfortunately I have no like really good depth perception. Anyway, I'm getting off track.
Really, you surprised me.
I learned from you.
Oh, the burn is real.
I completely forgot my point now.
Oh, it's a terrible
The main
shame.
Point is that whenever I'm in hook cam, I just kind of like use my eyes to do that anyway. So
yeah,
I've used take it or leave it. I think it's a good thing for the drifting community, because when you're going completely sideways and the camera is stationary, you can't see where you're going.
Yeah.
So being able to look out the windows is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the other big element of this update, and in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't actually that bigger update. It's not as big as I think many people were hoping for. The Forza Race regulations appeared in beta form.
Mm-hmm.
With a closed hopper, accessible to a small number of players, including Turn 10 developers and invited Forza Motorsport 7 players. Again, this was shown on a couple of streams, certainly the Forza update stream at the beginning of the month, which I think from memory showed the back section of Sebring heading up onto the Ormond Strait without the tyre walls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so much better. So much better. But it does. But the major scope of it, of course, was to show how the penalties with the UI, the new UI elements, or stage one of the UI elements, and also the implementation aspects of the track cutting and that kind of thing, and how the penalties will be put into action.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good step.
It is a good step.
It looks very positive.
Thanks to our close partnership with Turn 10, we were among some of the invited Forza Motorsport 7 players to try this out. So I spent
evening... He, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know.
No, the other members of staff were invited too. I think I'm the only one who actually took part in it.
I was being facetious, but yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I spent a good evening playing a lot of it. Obviously, I haven't really done much in the hopper because of Sebring preparations.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit more this week, but it was a S-class. Basically, it was an S-class hopper with it was Monza, Road, Atlanta, Sebring, and Jello. Was there another? I think it was just those four. Pretty certain it was just four. Anyway, those are the ones I definitely remember driving on, though. But getting to this is like the first initial rollout. So the only thing we're testing right, they wanted us to test right now, were the penalties for cutting the track.
Hmm.
So the first thing I did was find a very powerful car and go straight through the Monza chicane without even attempting to turn in. I promptly received a 23-second penalty.
Good.
And then I did it again the next lap, and I got a 24-second penalty because I passed someone whenever I did it.
Because I think, unlike it, because from how I gather, it's not just how much time you are off the circuit; it's also calculating
approximately how much time you've
made up.
While cutting, and. Well, I will admit, it's a bit strict at this point in the system. Like, you can be off the second, or the course for maybe, like, half a second, and you'll get a full second penalty.
Yeah.
It's just, like, basic, like, okay, I'm going to try to grow out of this corner. Nope, I've done it wrong. Full second penalty. What? And there's also a couple corners, like, turn six at Road Atlanta, that really tight, at the very bottom of the hill. That tight left-hander going up onto the second straight, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you cut there, which is a very popular place for before the new track limits were implemented last year, that was a very popular place to cut for many of the hot lappers. If you do that now, that's a 2-second penalty.
The thing that annoys me with that, with the track limits on that particular part of the of that circuit, it's not so much the inside, it's the outside where the curbing is very wide, mm-hmm. where legitimately in a racing scenario you would
use
a good portion of that curbing,
mm-hmm. and they do use a fair portion of that curbing in real life.
Exactly.
Same kind of goes for Sebring with turn 1 and turn 17, where the limits in real life are the walls.
Yeah.
But Forza, not so much.
Exactly. So what it's done is actually, in that instance, removed a legitimate part of circuit.
Yeah. Which, this is something that we've said to turn 10 in the past. Like, these are... Okay, love it. It's a bit strict.
Yeah. I think at the moment, as long as it's consistent, mm-hmm. that's the main thing. And also, so long as
it's definitely very consistent.
Yeah,
I can tell you that now.
Yeah, good. But also, so long as if down the line there is the opportunity to vary,
gauge how much you can. Yeah.
Yes.
Because, like, with us at Toro, we have our own like stewarding system. So, the in-game Forza race regulations will not completely replace it. It will be able to supplement it. So, like, we don't have to spend hours watching people cut the course, determine if it's penalty worthy or not. The game can do it for us.
Which will be perfect.
Things of that nature. Yes, that would be very perfect. Especially on circuits where it's very easy to gain a lot of time just by cutting it whenever no one's looking. Like Sebring?
Yes.
But that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah.
Like the what they're doing with the Forza race regulations. And next month, they will be rolling out a public version of the Beta Hopper. So we'll be able to see what the Forza community as a whole has to say about the Forza race regulation features.
Huzzah.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see how it evolves over the next coming months.
Yes, absolutely. Hopefully
this is something that will be implemented whenever Forza Motorsport something 8 comes out.
We can but hope.
Yeah. That was something that they also announced that they're going... Well, they had turned out it said that they're going to keep updating Forza Motorsport 7 with new features and things like that. They aren't working actively on the next Forza title. They've announced that they are going to start working on the next Forza title now. So we'll see what that brings. Hopefully, they will take a page from Gran Turismo's book and make a very very like laser focused motorsport based game, so we don't have to deal with SUVs or trophy trucks, which trophy trucks here to there, but we don't need limos, we don't need minivans.
No. Well, speaking
just
of,
give us the things that we want.
Yeah.
Not the things we didn't ask for.
Exactly.
Like car collecting. We don't need that.
Anyway, speaking of Gran Turismo, earlier in the month, so March 5th, I think it was.
Yeah.
Update 1.34 came out, which brought five new cars. The Autopolis circuit, which is a... I haven't seen that in a game for... maybe Shift 2, I think it was in. Or the first Shift. I haven't seen it anyway, but irrespective, I haven't seen it in a game for a very long time. So that's really cool, because Autopolis is actually a very cool circuit, obviously a Super GT circuit, so with it being in Gran Turismo, which has a lot of the contemporary Super GT cars, makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very cool, and I think there's two layouts that came into that as well. It also brought five new cars into it. The 1989 Mazda Unos Roadster. So basically another MX-5.
I mean, nothing wrong with MX-5s, but...
No, but not too many, please.
Come on.
This isn't Gran Turismo. Come on. We don't need to be like Gran Turismo 4 to have every single variant of it ever. Including the 25th Anniversary Special Edition with gold wheels. I don't even think that's a thing, but I'm just, you know.
I don't think so either.
But that is the level to which it got to, didn't it? Let's face it. And Subarus, of course. Anyway, the 95 McLaren F1 GTR BMW. That's the Ueno Clinic livery. One of my favourite liveries, actually, on that car. A car that is missing from Forza Motorsport. The 2009 Mercedes-Benz SLR McLaren. Very nice car. Also, I don't think that's in Forza anymore. It used to be. I think it is now. The 2013 Pagani Huayra. And the 2019 Toyota GR Supra RZ. Which, of course, is, for anyone else, just the Toyota Supra.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very cool. Now, that was back in March the 5th, and unusually...
March 12th. It was originally scheduled for the 5th, but it came out the 12th.
There we go, sorry, my apologies. Wrong, Duff.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, this week, in fact, I think it's come out today.
I think it's today. Sure it's today.
Yeah. Has also seen a second update, update 1.35, which has brought five new cars, which is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Two of which were the worst kept secret for quite some time, which is the two variants of the Dallara SF19 Super Formula car. So you've got the Honda and Toyota powered variants of that. Which is quite cool. It's got the halo and all this, that, and the other. Looks quite nice. Not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the Ferrari 250 GT Berlinetta being added, the Lamborghini Countach 25th Anniversary, and the Lancia Stratos, which is very nice too. So, happy days.
It is very nice.
So, happy days if you are a GT Sport player.
Mm-hmm. And not an SUV or a limousine or a minivan,
which I won't lie, I'm increasingly thinking I should be, just for a bit of a change.
Didn't they announce last week as well that all of these updates, as we should mention, are free to everyone? You don't. There's no microtransactions, which, again, I said the dreaded microtransaction word. Yeah, I believe they one of the I can never pronounce the series creator's name. I can never pronounce it.
Mr. Yamauchi.
Yamauchi, thank you. Said that they have no intention of ending these free updates anytime soon.
So, good.
Yeah, it's very good.
The only annoying thing is, of course, is for people like me who kind of go, oh, could get a PS4 Pro now, when potentially PS5 is out next year. So you kind of think, is it worth it? I don't know. Contact us on Twitter at the real underscore Tora. To let me know if I should get a PS4.
Yes, hashtag Tora Radio Show.
Where we sometimes talk about esports racing. Oh, we are, actually. Goodness me.
Oh, we are. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Blimey. I shocked myself then.
Since we're talking about Gran Turismo, should we talk about the new Gran Turismo-based esports thing coming next month?
Yes, because this may answer some people's question as to why a certain mark isn't on other games.
Yes.
And is unlikely to appear in other games soon, I suspect. Yeah. Please, go ahead.
All right. Toyota's Motorsports Division has announced that they will enter the esports scene next month and launching a Gran Turismo sport-based pretty much a Super Cup, basically. It is literally the Toyota GR Super GT Cup. Full race schedule will be revealed next month. It's confirmed that it will run between April and October this year, and the finals being held at the 2019 Toyota Motor Show on late October. So that would be something that many of the esports teams will be frantically interested in joining. Much like the other FIA-sanctioned GT sport events, players around the world will be eligible as long as they have a PS4 in the game and they are at least 6 years old. Which, every time I read that statistic, makes me wonder, why six? I guess so they can write their name. I don't know. It is a one-make esports series, so it will be... you'll be just re-racing the new Toyota Supra, which I hope... Side note, I hope Forza pulls a tricky one and just releases the new BMW Z3 in-game, which is basically the Supra. Is it Z3? Or am I thinking
Z4.
Okay, I should have known it's a Z4.
Which is in Horizon. It's in Horizon.
Yes. But I'm talking next Motorsport game.
Yeah, but of course we talked about that last
week. A car that would be fun to race is in Horizon, not Motorsport.
Yes.
Anyway. Moving right along.
Yes. So very cool that Toyota are moving into are going to do an esports series. Just cool generally because it's great that manufacturers are now seeing the benefit of this. Obviously, McLaren have done it already.
Mm-hmm.
I think
we were involved in some part with.
We were. I think some other manufacturers have.
Well, Porsche has that.
Yeah, Porsche have
thing with iRacing.
Yeah, they've got a couple of series going. They have a Carrera Cup type thing going in Italy as well, which is cool. I have a feeling there might even be one being done in Japan soon.
We'll see.
But yes, it is very good. Speaking of esports series, the least surprising press release of a while, because another way of saying that is, of course, used by our sister show, Midweek Motorsport. So we can't possibly say what I wanted to say. The SRO,
not on radio, at least.
Yes. So, goodness me. So the SRO have announced that they are officially running the SRO Esports GT Championship, which will be based on obviously the Blancpain GT series.
Now, let's not have everyone say what at the same time. Now,
yes,
it's obviously coming.
Yeah, I'll say because this is as unsurprising as Formula One having an F1 esports series using the official F1 esports game.
Again,
what?
Yeah. This is also not as surprising as NASCAR having an official esports series on their NASCAR Heat games. And everybody again, what?
No, I can't imagine most of the NASCAR people can say that. I will actually branch this out and say that thanks to significant peer pressure applied to me by my other co-hosts, I have bought NASCAR Heat 3, and I actually quite enjoyed it. It's actually quite good.
I have as well. It actually is quite enjoyable.
This is actually just with the dirt stuff. This is actually Ben, a really good show for those two not to be on here.
I know, right?
Because
they won't know we had this conversation until they listen to this.
Listeners, this is between you and us. NASCAR
Heat. There are several hundred listeners.
NASCAR Heat is actually all right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't want to run an esports series on it, but
no. But it is actually not that bad. It's not that bad. Third
stuff is great.
Yeah. So the SRO Esports GT series.
Yeah.
Coming to Assetto Corsa Competizione sometime next month. So there we go. So brilliant. So that's really good. And as I say, completely unsurprised, because the game is the official game of the series. Mm-hmm. So would he have been surprised if it had would have been on any other thing? Really, possibly.
But not really.
Not really, no.
No.
Now we have. Now it wouldn't be a TRS.
Are we talking about bikes again?
I'm going to talk about WRC8 first.
Okay.
So WRC8, which is done by Clayton. A French developer has live streamed footage of WRC8. I have to say it looks really good. I, as a general rule of thumb, quite like the WRC games. I like the new WRC cars anyway. This new title is boasting physics improvements for tarmac and off-road as well. So there will be much bigger differences between how the cars react on different surfaces, which is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that disappointed users of WRC7 was the fact there wasn't not a massive choice of cars particularly. That's been expanded upon, so you have the full fruit WRC cars will be back, as well as WRC Privateer Pro and WRC Junior. But for the first time in recent years in the series, they will be adding historic cars as well. Now, the developer has name-dropped the Lancia Fulvia and the Delta Integrale, the Escort Mark II, Alpine A110. They have also mentioned Group B, but not a lot more was said about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you could probably expect some... Depending on how far back the WRC license will go for them, this should allow for some pretty exciting cars to come in, which would be really cool, actually.
Now, I have an opinion.
Okay. Oh, blimey.
So is
WRC.
WRC. There's too many freaking acronyms, dude.
Yeah.
So is WRC8 just trying to be Dirt Rally? Because you read that description, you're describing this game and Dirt Rally.
Yes, but Dirt Rally does not have the official WRC license.
No, but Dirt Rally also has a lot more variety in the car choices, such as
it does
2.0 with the Camaro and the Mustang and the...
It does, but then that's like saying... Yes, but that's like saying that Forza Motorsport is comparable to F1 2018 because it has a Formula One car in it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. That's quite tenuous, actually, but I've got away with it, I think.
It is quite tenuous, yeah. But I'll give it to you. I will give it to you because I disagree with you on the drift.
They are two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Because let's not forget, you know, there has historically always been, well, certainly even back to like the PS2 days, a WRC game. But there has always been a Codemasters produced game, obviously Colin McRae, and Colin McRae Dirt, and then what's the Dirt series thereafter, with various licenses tagged in and cars that were therefore allowed or not allowed to be involved, blah blah blah.
Yeah, those are always fun.
Yeah, I like what the developer does, Kylo Ren. I'm just going to call it Kylo Ren. I like what the First Order is doing with the World Rally Championship franchise.
Oh gosh.
Snoke is taking it in the right direction.
Go in the past.
I think it's good. And they're adding dynamic weather in. They're adding dynamic weather into this new title as well. So the weather isn't just going to change from stage to stage, because obviously stages are traditionally quite long, sometimes up to like 7 kilometers, give or take, if not more. Yeah. The weather will change within the stage, so that is going to be a very interesting tactical element of the game that we haven't actually had to deal with in rallying titles for a really long time. I think on the whole it's going to be really, really good. Looking forward to that. I believe it's out sort of September time, which is really good. In fact, it is. Yes, game launches this September for PS4, Xbox, and PC, and probably Nintendo Switch at some point, because everything apparently needs to be on a child's toy as well now. Apparently, speaking of another game that's officially coming to Nintendo Switch at some point. The TT game that's been out for a very long time is now coming to Nintendo Switch for the 5 people that are probably interested in that.
I mean, that's kind of inaccurate, but just saying.
I don't get me wrong, I think it's a fantastic game and I really like it and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I just don't know if it's necessarily Nintendo Switch material.
I mean, it's Nintendo, so you can able to like use your controllers to steer, which unless you have, you know, a wheel, how would a sim race wheel actually work for a Moto game, or would it just be kind of weird using it?
I'm waiting because for Fanatec.
You're gonna have to wait tomorrow.
I'm waiting for Fanatec to come out with a kind of
or Thrustmaster for that matter.
Or Thrustmaster.
But, I mean, the degrees of rotation is going to be severely difference compared to a car.
It's going to be bizarre.
Yeah. But anyway.
But yes.
Side thought.
Yeah, completely.
Anyway. The Nintendo Switch is I think Nintendo's probably got the whole modern console thing right with the Switch, just because of its versatility of, you know, like being able to take things, like take the console itself out and go play it as like a handheld. And I'm starting to sound like Mark Brown.
I can't help but point out that I started to talk about the new MotoGP title and we haven't actually talked about it yet.
Releasing
the bikes. Just because you're not interested. The longer you delay, the longer you eat into your Sebring time, just saying.
Fine.
So, releasing on June 6th. On PlayStation, Xbox One, and PC, with the Nintendo Switch version to follow. MotoGP 19 is obviously, as it says on the tin, has all the MotoGP 19 stuff from all 3 classes, including the FIM NL Moto E World Cup. So you can now ride electric bikes on a computer game. Which is pretty. I don't know if that's cool or not. I'm not sure. I think it kind of is.
We've had former e-cars for a while.
Yeah.
So
true. They're also moving from an esports standpoint. They're moving to dedicated servers. So that should be really good for multiplayer, which is very cool. They're also adding something called a Race Director mode. which will allow you to create the perfect multiplayer race experience using your very own rules. Well, not our very own rules. It will be our choice of a pre-selected list of rules.
Are those going to be ranging from strict, like FIA style, you cut the track, you get a 5-second penalty, to just go where you want?
I will assume so, yes.
Yeah.
They're also adding historical challenges mode, which will allow you to relive big MotoGP moments over the years. So you too can knock off Mark Marquez at Malaysia and it not be your fault. No, it be your fault, even though it wasn't, anyway. A limited graphics editor will also be involved, so you can create your own helmet, lower back patches, and race number design from a choice of shapes, colour, shades, brushes, and levels, which is pretty cool. I'm skirting around this weird new AI thing that's involved in the game until I know more about it, because it sounds a bit HAL from 2001 for my liking. So we'll just skirt over that for now. But it does look like it's going to be very cool. And to be honest, adding historical content to MotoGP rather than just rolling out new paints on slightly different bikes is never a bad thing in my book.
Particularly, you'd be one of the few people who have that opinion.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Discussion for another game. Continue.
Yes.
That's a NASCAR joke.
Okay, fair enough. So that's MotoGP 19, which is coming out in June. Very much looking forward to that. Actually, and I imagine Jordan will be too, because he likes his bike. He likes his bike games as well. So it's not just me. 45 minutes of the show left. We're only now about to start talking about Toro related things, which is good actually, because for those who missed the boat, the classic Sebring 12-hour kicked off
last weekend.
Last weekend, in fact, and it was a roaring success. Going by everything that we've seen on Twitter, which is absolutely magnificent. So, Ben, please do tell us more about the Sebring Classic 12-hour.
Yeah, the Sebring Classic 12-hour in the kind of weeks leading up to it since our last show has been a bit of a controversial topic, just because of everyone was ready for a classic car list for one of our main endurance races. Admittingly, these cars are not for everybody, but the registration did pick up rapidly as we went up into this. We had a total of 44 cars registered to take the green flag. I believe 42 ended up actually attending. We had 144 drivers signed up. Wait, hold on. Okay, we did remove this list. Anyway, we had 44 cars take the green flag with 144 drivers signed up to take part. We had an even number between our two classes. In the Protosport class, we had 22 cars, and in the GT class, we had 22 cars.
Yay.
Which made lobby sizes, well, a bit large, very easy to determine. much like many of our endurance races, there was a very obvious team that was going to be like, okay, these guys are pretty much going to run away with this. And that was kind of the case in the GT class. We had Team Madam show up, which was championed by Saber Zoom, who was a member of the TX3 team. He competed in FRC until he was actually recruited by Saber Racing, now Alfa Romeo Racing F1 team. FRF Solo, another Forza RC attender, and JSR Cravenator, again, another FRC regular attender in the GT class. But the real story of the race is actually up in the prototypes, where we had two teams that literally fought the entire day of the 12 hours. The one team was called the Savage Squadron, championed by T.U.S. Mellish of YMTV fame, and Williams Roadrunner, a driver for Williams Esports. They were up against two goats and a lamb. I wish I could not... These team names are quite entertaining. Two Goats and a Lamb, which was championed by Roadrunner's teammate, Williams Mitch, JSR or Jado Commando, and JSR South. Like I said, these teams literally went back and forward all race, and they ended up provisionally finishing, and get this, 0.24 of a mile of each other.
Which is ridiculous.
I mean, it's not nearly as ridiculous as Coda from 2 years ago, where we figured out the difference was literally 3 feet. But it's pretty ridiculous. It's about the difference of the Almond Strait at Sebring. That's how close they were at the end.
Which after 12 hours of racing is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Especially 12 hours of green flag, no cool course yellow racing. But on the top, it was the Two Goats and the Lamb team that did take the checkered first. In the GT class, though, Team Madden was, of course, the clear favorite and finished 3 miles ahead of the SVR purple car, which was championed by one of our staff members, Solar, and a combination of his teams. So, congratulations to all of those who did really well. Unfortunately, my Sebring experience was not tremendous, as I was involved in 2 incidents during one of my stints, which pretty much put us back down the order, even though I was driving with 2 legendary Forza drivers, who was F4H Diablo, but is now Lazarus Diablo and Raceboy 77 himself.
Yes,
thank you to everyone who took part. Be sure to listen to future Twitter radio shows for more information about our next endurances, which the next one should be very obvious. I'm just going to say now, next one's Le Mans.
I was just about to say, is it in France? Yes.
Obviously. It's in France. It's Le Mans. Le Mans will take place. We're not going to release the car list yet, as it is still being considered by our developer team. But yes, Le Mans next.
Why we can't say too much about the car list for our now traditional Le Mans 24-hour esports racing event. I think what we can say, Ben, is it's a very, very tasty car list.
It is a very tasty car list.
And
it is not nearly as polarizing as this car list.
No. In fact, I would be very surprised if anybody is disappointed with the car list we're coming up with for this.
Yeah.
So, yes. So, roll on June and roll on the Tora 24 Hours of Le Mans.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Ben, we probably should also mention, just before we go into the final 10 minutes of the show, we should also mention that tomorrow night is our British GT preview. We spoke to Angus Fender from Century Motorsport. He came on with us to have a chat about his upcoming season, his move from the Ginetta Super Cup on the Toka package to a full-blown GT4 program with Century Motorsport and the M4 GT4. So please do tune in tomorrow night, same time, for that show. We ended up talking, Ben, didn't we, an awful lot about real racing, which is rare for us and slightly uncomfortable. But it was very cool, and Angus is absolutely fantastic, and it was a pleasure to have him on for the whole hour to discuss what's coming up. And of course, we will also be previewing what's planned to come up for the British GT Esports Championship, with entries only having opened Monday just gone. Obviously, we're a bit limited on the runners and riders for that, but of course in our next show, this time next month, the first round will have happened, so we'll be able to give you a better lowdown on where everybody is after round one Of the official British GT Esports Championship 2019. So look forward to that. Ben, let's talk about another very popular series, TazCar. How's that going?
Well, TazCar, as I said in the last show, has had a rough beginning. Following the glitch that was introduced to Forza that caused all the pit lanes to become very unsafe as cars would collide into each other. When they are not under the player's control and would actually like destroy cars in the pit lane, which is something we tried to avoid. We had to postpone our TazCar season a little bit. Unfortunately, the fix to that glitch did not come until after our first round. So unfortunately, we've had to move our Daytona race down the schedule a little bit, and back in the second week of March 9th, we finally had our first round at Sonoma Full, which saw a very AMS heavy car list. AMS Bastic, who is now GTR Maxtreme, or GRT Maxtreme, excuse me, finishing first in that series, followed by two newly AMS drivers, AMS Mead and AMS Huracan, taking the top three positions there. As you can imagine, with Daytona coming up next weekend, so not the 30th. Wait, no, not 30th. 30th? No. Yeah, 30th.
This coming weekend, yes.
No. It is going to take... Our Daytona race will take place on April 6th.
Which is next weekend.
Yes. Normal race time, of course. Be sure to check the forums for information. We should have our official Daytona package released by this coming Saturday.
Mm. So with a week to go. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Excellent. Shout out to our very own Jordan Groves, who raced in the series and did quite well. Finishing ninth.
Something like that. Yeah.
So well done to him. Mm-hmm. And you finished 20th.
I was down in the lower lobby
because reasons.
I messed up one corner in qualifying.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Anyway. Must do better. We must also, of course, talk about another exciting upcoming series that's coming, GT300. You may have seen this appear on Twitter not very long ago. Mm-hmm. This is another fantastic series from the mind of Mike Yohannes.
Yep. This first round is actually occurring right now, where you'll see drivers taking part in the race at the Indy Classic GP layout. We're doing a bit of a different race format this time. We're going to have a sprint round, and then a feature length race. So they will be having a race of 8 laps and then 20 laps this evening. The car list is only something that only Mikey can come up with, if I'm honest. The highlights are the Alfa Romeo 4C, the Fiat 124 Spider, the Mazda RX-8. There is an MX-5, but not the modern one. The Silvia Spec R, the Plymouth Prowler, the Pontiac Solstice, and the Subaru BRZ.
It's different. I'll give them that.
Mm-hmm. There's also since I've already mentioned most of them, I just wouldn't mention the rest of them. There's a BMW Z3, which is probably why I called the Supra Z3 before, because I was thinking about this car. The Honda S2000 are also in the series. As it is a Mikey series, you can expect the typical very wide open-ended build rules. Cars must have race tires, they must have race brakes, a roll cage, the Forza Motorsports adjustable front and rear arrows, and can only have 300 horsepower, and it must weigh between 2,500 and 2,700 pounds. So, as per usual with Mikey series, this will turn into a very interesting looking field.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we are doing the typical European time slot and the U.S. time slot. So the European time slot is racing right now, and the U.S. one will be later this evening. Well, evening for me. It's still three. It's almost four here. So,
So just quickly running through the rest of the calendar for the rest of the year. Rest of the season. Mm-hmm. The season runs from March 28th today until May 2nd. So round two then is at Suzuka East, 12 lap and 28 lap race on April 4th. On April 11th, we go to Laguna Seca, 7 and 17 laps. Then it's to Lime Rock, that'll be fun, 12 and 28 laps on April 18th. April 25th, the not very much used Kota West Circuit, 7 and 17 laps, that'll be fun. And then the season closes out on May the 2nd at Bathurst, 5 and 12 laps. Very cool indeed. And looking forward to seeing more of the liveries and stuff that come from that. I've already seen a picture of a very nice looking Alpha 8C and a Lukoil paint scheme in there, so that'd be very very interesting too. Blimey, we have actually done, see, this is what happens when we aren't pushed off course by let's face it mainly Lewis that normally goes on, particularly in this show, because of course the hijinks from Sebring fresh in his mind. And of course, a big thank you to Eve and John for looking after him and getting him on Midweek Motorsport during the Sebring week. We really appreciate it, as always. And I do believe we have managed to do an entire show and actually talk mostly about racing, which is excellent.
Yes, and on time too.
Exactly. Marvelous. So. Dear Lord. So next month we will have more news from the wonderful world of esports racing, including no doubt another update from Forza Motorsport 7, hopefully more race reg information there. We will be talking about round one of the British GT Esports Championship. We might even be able to throw in some word from the real racing, as it will be after the Easter weekend when it takes part. Plus all the usual esports news, reviews and casual banter from myself, from Ben, from Lewis, and Jordan, if we can tear him away from his writing duties next time. Do not forget to check out that Tora test track video of the Braun BGP 001 that Jordan has put together. It's very, very good, but well worth a look if you're interested in slightly older Formula 1 machinery. And, of course, you can always check out all the latest news from the Online Racing Association at www.racetora.com or on Twitter at @TheReal_Tora, or, of course, just look up for the Online Racing Association on Facebook as well.
Racetora.com.
I've been Matt Hunter. Ben has been...
himself.
And we've both been talking about what we should be talking about, which is unusual. Thank you ever so much for listening. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.